Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
How's everybody doing? You guys okay? You alive? Okay. Well, my name is Tom, and we're going to get into Acts chapter 4. This evening, for all of you studious individuals that brought your Bible, we are going to be in Acts chapter 4. And can we give it up for the worship team one more time? Because it is, it's not an easy thing to necessarily come out here and praise the Lord and with all these people watching, and you know, it's an intimate moment, this praise thing. And man, I just I'm thankful for all of y'all to be here. Oh, there it is. There's some love right there. Man, okay, yeah. So it is, I'm glad that you guys are all here. Isaiah, hello. And today is good. And today is going to be all God, because there have been some things that have been going on in our lives. There are a wide variety of people here tonight, and there are so many different backgrounds. And before I even get started, I just want you to know that I do take this very seriously. I like to have a lot of fun, and I don't know what the Lord's going to do through me tonight, but I do take it very serious. My goal is to not attack. My goal is to not entertain. My goal is to tell you what I believe the Lord has been speaking, not only to me, but for our church, for church in general. For whoever listens to this, whether you come to Valley Bible or you're not even in California, the goal tonight is that we would all individually, collectively, spiritually hear the Lord. Amen? Online, amen? All right. I love when people in the room answer. Paul, they're wild, I tell you. Just a quick recap. Women's ministry, y'all are wild, man. There was 220-something of y'all at the women's event last night, and it was amazing, and I'm talking as if I attended. I did not, and I just so happened to be passing through and looked inside, and just all the women worshiping, and it's an amazing thing that's happening for all of you women out there. There are so many different events that we got going on. The men, we got like Man Cave. We got Man Cave, and so, and bench press competitions that we do and post online, I think. Felix is having a hair growing competition, and it's one of those, I love going to a church that is big, but is also relational, being able to talk to people and see people, and it is such a perfect example of what I'm going to be talking about here this evening. Why church is important online. If you can, please be here. If you are able to attend, please join us. There's nothing like being in the presence of other believers. And it's really, really good. If you can't physically, that is okay. The Lord, you know, there's nothing in Scripture about staying home and watching online. But there is a benefit for all of us gathering together. I should just say this in case anybody in here's got it. Happy Ash Wednesday. Sure. I was in Walmart earlier and I saw it all on everybody's foreheads. And I grew up Catholic, and so I remember repping it. And so I don't know if there's anybody in here, but happy Ash Wednesday. We're going to be in Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 32. Pastor Gennaro, he was not here last Wednesday. That was Pastor Jim. Pastor Gennaro was here two Wednesdays ago and left off. We're going to kind of recap a little bit as the night goes on. Pastor Justin already prayed for us, prayed for me backstage, we're going to get right into it. So if you've got your Bibles, we're going to be starting in verse 32, and I have my Bible on me, back room, if you could put that up for those on the screens here. It says, "And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonged to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. And with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. For there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as any had need." We're going to stop there tonight. Man, you read that, and that's a bar for all of us to hit. That's a bar for all of us to hit. I'm a talker, okay? So I got a throat lozenge in my mouth right now. My throat, I just talk a lot. Even on our worship nights, Allie is like my mom, and she tells me not to talk. And so I got to keep really quiet. I just love talking. I love talking to people. I love being loud. I really probably don't need a microphone. But it is one of those things. So if I start taking drinks, it's only because the devil's trying. You know what I mean? But it's a very interesting. Yeah, that works. It's a very interesting passage to read tonight, because if you're like me when I was reading this passage, I like that that was back then and it's not now. Is anybody, you know, like, no show of hands. I don't want y'all to feel convicted. Or maybe you're like me, and the longer that I sat on this this group of verses, I was like, let me break it down. What's it mean to sell things? Maybe they didn't actually sell things. Maybe it was figurative. Maybe in their hearts they sold it. Because I don't like the idea that they literally sold their houses, their trucks, their things, their possessions, and all of the money they brought to the apostles and said, do with this whatever God says. Fast forward, and here we are. We got our houses, we got our vehicles, we got our AirPods, we got our things, our bougie things, not necessities. Old people, bougie is a word that means, are we okay? Do I have to explain it? All right. But it's this, I gotta remember, there's all kinds of people watching. But it's something that is not necessarily a need for us. They're luxuries. I mean, we live in an amazing nation. The very fact that we're here now is a luxury. It really, really is. Despite what you think about the rest of the world, this is a luxury. And so I read this passage here, and I'm like, all right, God, what do you really want me to see? Is it figurative? Is it literal? Ladies and gentlemen, before I continue, they actually sold everything. They really did. Oh, they must have not had anything. No, they had things. That's why they brought money, because the things that they had were of value. And what God did is he was starting a new thing on the earth. I'm not getting into it tonight, but at the beginning of chapter 5, there is a husband and wife who decide to sell their possessions. And they thought logically, and they said, we're going to give some to the church, but in case this doesn't pan out, we're going to keep some back. Spoiler alert, if you're not Bible sound, God kills them. Well, that seems pretty harsh. Yeah, but what if they're saved and they went to heaven instantly? We don't know. That's pretty harsh for them to die instantly, but I think it's also a standard that God was trying to set, that if you think for a second that you're going to come to the house of the Lord and try to manipulate him and not go full force, there will be consequences. Now, don't get it twisted. God is not saying tonight that we are supposed to give everything right now. If he is telling you that, that's on you. But it is not something where God glorifies himself in killing people. So, I got a couple of questions for you. I'm titling, yeah, there it is. I'm titling tonight, Grow in the Unknown. My wife and I, if you've been here before when I've taught, I like to come up with really cool titles. And I had two titles, and I was like, my wife's name is Justine. I said, Justine, help me. Which title should I go with? And she accidentally came up with this title. She's like, I like this one right here. I said, Justine, I never even said that. But I like that. But to grow in the unknown. So my wife, my beautiful bride, I love you. Thank you so much. I know you're watching. She's got the kids at home right now. But it's, I want to look at this idea and I want to ask you a question. Are you grown in the love of God? Are you grown? Not have you seen God do things in your life? I'm not asking you that. I'm asking, have you gone through the long, extensive time spent with the Lord, the ups and the downs, the different kinds of seasons, the hard times, the good times, a lot of money and no money? Are you grown in the love of God? Have you let God's word be your anchor and then watching God's word take shape in your life to the point that you are able to see what he said shape the way that your day plays out? Have you spent time in the morning praying and saying, God, who do you want me to talk to today? Who do you want me to be around today? What do you want me to do at my job today? Who is it that you need me to text? Who is it that you need me to start a Bible study with? Where is it that I need to get involved in the church? Where is it that I need to start something outside of the church? And then you let God direct your day. Are you grown in your love of God? Now, what does your time with God look like? What does your time with God look like? Is this the only time, which is good, better than nothing, right? It's like eating Big Macs all the time and then getting a salad every now and again. Better than nothing. Do you have real conversations with God? Now, for those of you that might be new, this is Valley Bible Fellowship. Welcome. We believe that God moves every single day, that God communicates every single day, in every single moment. Some of you, you've already heard what you needed to hear, that God wanted you to hear. You are technically done. Just please be respectful of the people around you and don't start flirting. But it is one of these things that we are in a church that we believe, like many others, that God speaks to us. That what the Old Testament people, the men and women of the Bible, what they did when they went and they talked to God, and you read how it says, and the Lord said, when they wrote that down or when people wrote that down, that's because literally the Lord said. That still happens to this day. So is that happening in your life? Do you have a real relationship with him? Do you have a real relationship with him? When you are walking around the mall, going on a walk around your neighborhood, whatever it is that you do, when you're walking around and it's maybe just you and the Lord time, like are you making space for him? Are you talking to him? Is it real audible, making this a real, when you're on your drives to work or to pick up your kids with your kids in the car even, are you praying, bringing everybody in that car with you into a relationship with the Lord? Can people tell that he exists in your life? I got another question for you, okay? What do you imagine Jesus would be like if he was talking to you? You know what I don't imagine Jesus being like? Like, you know, like when you bring your problems or maybe something you're going through to like a friend? I don't got my phone up here with me, just imagine. And they're just like, uh-huh. Yeah. No, it's nuts. Dump them. I don't imagine Jesus doing that. You know what I also don't imagine Jesus doing? I had to learn this. I don't imagine Jesus, when I'm telling him what I'm going through, he's tuning me out to already tell me what he wants me to know. What I see Jesus doing is having real conversations with people in Scripture. that he would sit there and he would listen to every word that they said, that he would meet them where they're at. He's not ready to send everybody to hell. He's not ready to condemn people. He's not ready to attack people. And I see these things and I wonder, what is your version of Jesus? Can I give you guys some information about our society? I got the microphone. There is a research by a guy named Philip Zimbardo, and it's called The Demise of Guys. Don't worry, we're going for everybody. It's called The Demise of Guys. It says the average guy will spend 10,000 hours playing video games by the age of 21. What a stud. The average person reads 200 to 400 words a minute. At that speed, we could read almost 200 books a year at an average of 417 hours a year. That's a little over an hour a day. If you were to read a little over an hour a day, you would have 200 books read by the end of the year. I'm not taking jabs. I got like 4 books. I'm not taking any jabs. Some people read like 2 a week. Animals. This one's going to be fun. The average person spends 705 hours on social media a year. Oh, hold on. I'm going to talk about TV next. 2,737 hours watching TV per year. And still, we don't have time for the Lord. I can't imagine where it goes. I can't imagine what we could do if we took the time that we actually have and taught ourselves Scripture, lived out Scripture. It's really not that hard. I had every intention of drinking that water. I have been in real situations where I needed God to show up. And all of a sudden, a verse pops into my head. And I am not a verse memorizer. I tried to impress my wife when we were dating. I was like, I'm gonna memorize the Beatitudes. I didn't, but I tried. I still got her, and I'm married. I win. So, it's not necessarily something that is easy to do, but imagine if we didn't scroll as much. Imagine if we didn't binge watch as much. Imagine if we didn't see the value of life coming from watching the TV or watching those shows that everyone talks to you about. Imagine if that wasn't the standard, but our standard was Jesus. In the same book that I've been referencing, the book is called Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And it was mentioned to me by a friend of mine named, she's a pastor at Canyon Hills, Lindsay. She told me about this book. Here's a quote from it. It says, if you want to experience the life of Jesus, you have to adopt the lifestyle of Jesus. Oh, we all want to walk on water. That would be a dope first date. That would just be a cool trick. Or when money's real, real tight, and you open that refrigerator, there ain't no food there, and you close it and you open it again, and it's full of food, in Jesus' name. But we don't want to adopt his lifestyle. I bet you Jesus only had 1 pair of sandals. How many pairs of shoes you got? How expensive are they? I'll calm down. That was a little too close to home. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Some of you guys got some heat on your feet. I'm sorry. But what could that do to help people? Just saying. I also want to pose the question a different way. If you want the life of the early church, you have to adopt the lifestyle of the early church. Remember how they sold everything? Remember how they gave everything? Don't worry, I'm not there either. But the early church had something that we don't. And I want to look at a couple of points that we see actually before what it was that we read tonight. Because I feel like sometimes what we do is we bring in how we've been treated by people into how God will treat us. We've all been hurt. We've all been had our hearts broken. We've all been in situations where I thought I could trust that person. Or I thought that person was gonna, I thought this person was always gonna be here. And then they don't. But where do we get off thinking that that's what God's gonna do? If we can really break this down for a second, when has he ever let us down? Now here's what I'm not saying. I'm not saying, when have you ever prayed for something and God, you know, let it go, or whatever it was that you wanted to have happen didn't happen. I'm not talking about that, because sometimes there is a very real will. There's a very real set of circumstances that have to happen in order for certain things to take place. You know, being in the youth ministry, I had a lot of kids come to me with grandparents that were on their deathbed. They're like 90-something years old. Their time was done. God was calling them home. But the kids are praying that God would keep them around. That's a hard conversation to have with kids. I'm not talking about stuff like that. But I'm talking about, what if we really saw when we were trying to get that house and it ends up not working out, or we try to get that job and that doesn't end up working out, or you were dating this person and it doesn't end up working out. What if those aren't God like hurting you, cursing you, repaying you for the things that you should have done, Christian? But what if God's going, I'm actually looking out for you. I'm actually preventing something from happening to you. You're gonna get to that job. That job's gonna be terrible for you. That boss is gonna be on your back 24/7. You're gonna have no time to go to church, no time to spend with your kids, no time to invest in your relationship. You're gonna eventually get a divorce. Your kids are gonna resent you. Do you want that, but have your prayer answered? And I see that there is a good God who in the little things in our lives has proven that we can trust him. But sometimes we take our hurts and we bring them into the kingdom. And we think that the kingdom's gonna be like that, when at the very beginning, we see that the early church was nothing like that. And Jesus actually tells us, seek first the kingdom and everything that you actually care about will be added to you. It's the deep desires of our hearts, Jesus tells us. So I got a couple of points for you that are actually gonna come from verse 24, but if you could put that first point up, it says that they gathered together to pray. In verse 24 of Acts chapter 4, it says, and when they heard this, they lifted their voice to God with one accord and said, O Lord, it is you who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. Then they continued to pray. Let's keep that point back up if you could, please. They gathered together to pray. I don't attack. I jab. Okay? It's nobody's fault. But when was the last time you went to a prayer night? That old school church stuff. Well, I didn't know we had any. No, okay, praise God. When was the last time you held one? When was the last time that you asked God, Lord, I need a group of people to pray for me? Because we see that how these crazy early church weirdos got to the point of selling their homes. Because let's think about this for a second. Where does your mental state have to be to sell your home? Usually, it's when you find something better. When you sell something that you actually care about, it's usually because it's a better set of circumstances or situations that you are going to, that you are leaving this other thing. So we see that tip number one is they gathered together to pray. Tip number two, in verse 29, they asked for boldness. In verse 29, It says, as they continue to pray, it says, and now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence. You know, it's really weird. I didn't know you had to pray that prayer. And I'll be putting my kids to bed. And man, I start praying for things for them that I wish I prayed for myself. I'll be praying, God, I pray for their future friends. And I go, shoot, I need that prayer. Or I'll be praying for their future, I'm already praying for my future, their future in-laws, the people I'm stuck with. I'm praying for them. And I think like, man, like I generically pray for my in-laws, but I don't really pray for my in-laws. Sorry. But it is those things like we come to a point where we need, in this prayer group that they held, they're praying for things and believing in them. Every single one of, it doesn't say that the apostles were the only ones who prayed this prayer. Everybody believed that they were the carriers of the gospel, not just the pastors, not just the worship people. Everybody, they owned the fact that they were the carriers of the good news. But I don't even know what the first few books of the Bible are. No, you don't. But have you met Jesus? Do you know what he's capable of doing in your life? Oh, absolutely. You can't shut me up about that. That's good enough. Now go out and tell people about what he did for you. That's the gospel. The devil does a really good job of sneaking his way in there and going, hey, you're not qualified for this. And actually, that's a tool for us. Like, I don't know a darn thing about scripture, but I know who the author was. And you go from there. But they were carriers of the gospel. The third point is they made themselves available to be used for miracles. In verse 30, while you extend your hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they asked for boldness, they then said, now, God, extend your hand on us. I remember walking up and down. I don't know why Walmart's my favorite place to go. I don't go there a lot. But I remember walking up and down Walmart, head hunting, looking for someone to pray for and heal. Now, I'll be honest with you. I was doing it with the wrong heart. 100% doing it with the wrong heart. I wanted to, you know, feel it in my hands. I thought I was going to be the guy. And then there have been moments where somebody does come up. And I go, oh, I think I know what's going to happen. But what if we all walked around as if we had the ability that when the God of the universe called on us, that there would be healings, that there would be boldness? Because it's after this, it says, then an earthquake took place and it shook the room that they were praying in. How they got to a position of selling everything and giving it to the church and being okay with it was because every single moment that the church got together, whether it was just in two or more than two, God was moving. And they made themselves available for God to move. I read you how many hours people spend on average on Instagram and whatever else kind of social media. And for some reason, we justify it like, well, I had a long day today. And before I go to bed, I'm just going to scroll. Just going to get my mind off things. And if you're not there, you do that with a TV show, your guilty pleasure, whatever it is. And then we come here and we can't figure out why we can't worship. And we can't figure out where God's at in our lives. And we can't figure out why this relationship isn't working. And we can't figure out why we have such a hard time hearing God. We can't figure out why, when I read this verse at the very beginning, we felt so uncomfortable. But this was normal for the early church. I read a book one time called Crazy Love. And there was this missionary guy. And he was out and he was doing some stuff in the missionary, like doing some missionary stuff. And his tooth hurt him. He had to come back to the States, get his tooth taken care of. And he said, I ain't ever dealing with tooth problems again. Had all of his real teeth pulled out and all fake ones put in. That's some love, dude. That's weird love, but it's love. And a deep bank account. But imagine if we were those people that said, you know what? These people are worth more than anything that I have. And I don't want to disrupt everything I've been building a case for. Because the church is very important. But I really don't think that these people did it for the person next to them. I think they just really fell in love with God. I've been here at the church since third grade. But I've been in the trenches of this church for 11 years. Trenches meaning like stacking chairs, doing events, staying late, doing overnighters with your kids, traveling back and forth, doing worship, having uncomfortable conversations with people, and I can't remember their names, doing funerals, doing weddings, doing some sort of prayer for people and being there for people and doing hospital visits and having to see the hard times of the church. And if I did all of that for you, that was my sole intention, I would have quit 3 years ago. Oh, don't throw your stones. Everyone's just like, oh, forget this guy. No, seriously. It's hard. Because if you do it for people, that's not going to sustain you. We don't have the wisdom to speak life. We can't create rhemas. Only the Lord can. Only the Lord can meet us right where we're at and be there and give us the peace that surpasses all understanding. I can't do that for you. Your mama can't do that for you. Nobody can do that for you. It's only the Lord. And I feel like these people had a real relationship with God and the Holy Spirit was doing something and the scriptures that they were taught as kids came to life in the church. It wasn't that they came and, oh, this is my favorite spot. I sit right here every time I'm in church. And oh my gosh, how dare somebody sit in my seat? It wasn't that. And it definitely wasn't like, you know what, the person speaking tonight better be really, really good. I appreciate that. But how many times, I love this church, but how many times do we do that? How many times is it like, you know what, I need this song to hit because I'm going through something. Instead of, we should be thinking, God, I need your presence there tonight. God, I need you there tonight. Because it won't matter who comes out. Because like, can you imagine if it was like a pastor you didn't like? And you go, oh, God's going to have to move tonight. You know what I mean? And this is where we're at. I think for too long we have built up this idea that church is supposed to be catered to us. And so if somebody doesn't say the right thing, if I'm not greeted, if I'm not this, if I'm not that, if the parking, if the lighting, if the this, then I'm not believing in God, or I'm not putting up, or I knew it, God was gonna fail me. And that's just not where it's at. It's in the unknown that we're supposed to grow. It's when things are not so certain that we're supposed to grow. If you could put up Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. And I'll close with this. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days, they are evil. It's a lot of expectation when it comes to church. I know that I'm a vessel. I know that I'm a vessel. I know that I'm just being used by God. Like I told you, I can talk. This isn't hard for me. What is hard for me up here is making sure that it's not opinion. And it's not what I've thought. And asking God, like, Lord, I need you. I swear, every time I get up here to do a Wednesday night, it gets harder and harder and harder, because it gets easier and easier and easier. And that's the fight for me. And as we close today, there might be some of you with an opinion. I want you to end it like this, or I want you to do this like that. I don't want to feel uncomfortable, or yes, make them uncomfortable. At the end of the day, I mean, when I was here, I gave my life over to Christ like 3 times. One time Brian Welch was here, and they were like, if you give your life over to Christ, Brian Welch will meet you in the back. I need to be saved. I'm a sinner. But at the end of the day, it's your relationship with Jesus. We love on holidays when we do the altar call and it's this massive group of people, and that's amazing. I just don't know where they go after that. I think they get involved. Maybe they go to another church, which is still okay. But I think sometimes we get into this because we want to see, or we want to clap, or we want to whatever. So I want to end tonight. There will be prayer people up here. And you know if you're supposed to make this declaration of faith, and you know if you need someone to pray with you. You just know. Because the Holy Spirit says he draws you in. He draws you in. It's not this arm wrestle and, you know, he's giving you a noogie all the way up to the front. But he draws you in. And if you're online, it is a really, really simple prayer. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord. That he died and he rose from the grave. Send it into heaven, and one day he returns. And then you ask for the Holy Spirit to come inside of you and live within you and do the very things that you cannot do yourselves. That's the prayer. That's the time with God that we get. I love just being here. I love just being in the room with believers, and I love being in this place because this is what Jesus wanted for us. For us to come to the knowledge of God. It was God's design that he wishes no man, no woman, no child to perish. And we are in times that need us to be the church, that need us to believe what we say that we believe. And we need to lean into who God is and not who man is. Man will fail you every single time. Every single time. So I want to close in prayer. There'll be prayer people up here. If you need prayer, come up afterwards. If you need prayer, come up afterwards. Let's pray this. Father, I thank you so much that you are on the throne, that your authority never leaves. Circumstances and situations do not determine your power, and they do not determine your love for us. And I thank you that that is truth, and I thank you that you want us to know that. Father, I ask for boldness and courage over every believer under the sound of my voice to live out the gospel, to live out their faith. For those here tonight and online who need to start this new life with you, God, I ask that you would give them the strength to stand up if they're here and to come and to get the prayer that they need. And if they are at home or wherever online, that they would say the prayer and you would do something miraculous in their life starting tonight. We thank you, God, that your church is strong against the defense of the enemy. We thank you, God, that we're on the winning side. We thank you, God, that you have all power and all authority. We thank you, God, that you are the way, you are the truth and the life. We love you, God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great night.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King. Here is